You know, I could do a fucking Australian. I could talk like that. As sort of an exaggerated middle-aged man that's Australian. Or you could, I suppose you could take it to a deeper kind of Australian like that. Make it a bit gruffer and a bit more rugged. Or I guess you could make it a little more feminine, a bit posher. You could speak like this. How's that?
Stand-up comedian and tattoo artist John Pinder says he started mimicking accents at a young age.
People have told me when I do accents, I also do faces. So I think it's like a character, because I don't do terribly realistic impressions. I do cartoonified versions. I think I just try and mimic a character that's in my head.
Can I get a carrot cake? A whole cake? I'm having dinner with Lola and her parents. So you're getting carrot cake? Isn't that a little cliche? Rabbits, carrots.
John Pinder thinks people laugh at impressions because they are unexpected and change the dynamic of the show.
Especially with stand-up comedians, they jump on the stage and somebody tries to pull off an accent. If they don't pull it off, it isn't funny, it's cringy. But if they nail it, it's like they've suddenly become somebody else. That's a shock. It works the same way as a joke. It's a sudden shock to the ear and to the eye.
Per speech pathologist Adele Jane says people mainly want to modify their accents to communicate better at their workplace.
So they may have a job where it's really, really important to have clear communication and not be misunderstood. Some businesses will see their clients as very valuable employees, but there's a barrier to them communicating well with other people, and so we change it.
She says it takes people on average of 10 to 12 weeks to modify their accents.
Can be very quick. We often work with very bright people here who are very motivated to make the change. So even though it's actually quite hard work, once they start carefully listening and hearing the difference and then drilling, it works really quite well.
Scotland!
I'm going to tell you a story now, and it's a guy that I know from Scotland. And it's not the guy you're thinking of, by the way. It might not be.
Spanish!
I tell you one story about Spain. Is when you're driving in Spain, everybody want to drive fast because they want to do nothing, but they want to do nothing for more time.
France!
I once saw you, I tell you something about France. Everybody says that the English people, we are funny, but the French people, we are more funny.
John says he constantly uses his accents and listens to audio to understand how to make particular sounds.
I repeat it. I'll do it all the time. I'll do it driving to work. I'll do it in conversation with people. It's annoying. I just constantly do it. And as well, if I'm like listening to something a lot, if I've listened to a particular character or a particular accent a lot, it's about trying to figure out where that noise is coming from.
Speech pathologist Adele Jane says listening is the most important skill to reproduce certain sounds and accents.
So they have to learn to listen very clearly. They've got to be able to pick up the differences between the way they're making certain sounds and the way they want to make the sound. So what we call auditory discrimination. And then we've actually got to sometimes teach them how to make particular sounds and then how to join those sounds to all the other sounds in their speech.
Marie-Claire Patron is an assistant professor in intercultural communication at Bonn University. She says she modified her accent based on the positive and negative feedback people gave her.
I have changed my accent over the years, depending on a degree of acceptance. But I went out of my way to stop saying, yeah, I like dancing, to I like dancing. And this is the way that we use accents, because now this fits the person that I believe I am, the perception that I have of myself. And I feel what I am. I'm an assistant professor at Bond University. I have been here for 28 years, and I'm very proud to be here, and I want to be and act like a person from here.
Marie-Claire Patron says people modify their accent when they feel insecure.
The way that we use our language, and in particular our accent, is also a way of dominating or shaping. Not only does it shape our worldviews, but if we use certain accents and we mimic certain accents, we could use that as a form of power. It's a bit of a power play to put on accents to try and perhaps to act as people that maybe we are not, just to impress.
She says our accent forms a big part of our identity, as it reflects how we perceive ourselves.
Our accents help define our cultural identity. It can denote our social status, our class, so our rank, our lineage, so the cultural heritage that we have, our position in various organizations, and it also helps people to categorize other individuals into groups.
UWA linguistic professor Daniel Mitchley says we all have an accent, and we mimic them to feel closer to our peers.
A Scottish accent, oh, it would hurt the ears of anyone who tried to listen, but I could give it a go. I guess it is kind of fun to try on an accent, I hear Scottish accents and, you know, try them out a little bit because they sound so different and interesting that I want to see if I can do it or if I can do it convincingly. Also, there's a very strong tendency for us also to want to talk like the people that we're talking to. And so socially, we just tend to adjust a little bit.
He says we often unintentionally change our accent depending on the situation.
Some of that is where you are. Another thing is that when you speak about a certain topic, you might change accent. You might change your accent a little bit depending on who you're talking to. There's a lot that we say about accent and the way we talk, but I think that it's a social fact and not so much a linguistic fact. Or could I say maybe it's both, a sociolinguistic fact? Yeah, that's it.
Elena Morabito, Western Independent.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks!
That's all, folks!